Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. Are you thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight? If you're thankful to be in the house, let's just lift up our hands and begin to give Him praise, because God has a word for us tonight. And let's begin to make our hearts ready. Father, we have come here, God. We push aside everything else, God, so that we can enter into the place that You've called us to. Father, I pray right now over every heart. I pray over every mind, God. I pray over all of us that You would take us where You want tonight, God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We want more of You, God. We're not content with just where we've been, but we want to go further in You. We want to go deeper in You. We want more of You. We want to know who You are for ourselves, God. We want to experience Your presence and Your power and Your glory and Your love and Your mercy, God. We want Your love tonight, God. We don't want anything else, God. We just want Your presence, Lord. Oh, You are in this place. Oh, God has been doing a work in our hearts, and He has only just begun. Because God wants us to get into a place with Him where there is so much intimacy, so much closeness, where we know who He is and He knows who we are. There's got to be a closeness in this relationship. It's got to be one-on-one. But tonight, God has given me a word for you. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 36. Psalms chapter 36. God bless you. Thank you. And I'm going to read verse 7 and then you can be seated. Just let me know when you're there. Just say amen when you're there. Again, that's Psalms chapter 36 and I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, "How precious is Your loving kindness, O God. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of Your wings." The children of men take refuge in the shadow of Your wings. Everyone say, in the shadow of Your wings. I want to talk to you tonight about abiding and dwelling and living in God. Father, I pray right now, God, that Father, as Your word goes forth, that it would touch the hearts of men and women. That God, we know as Your word goes forth, it will do that which it is sent out to accomplish. Lord, it will not return to You void. But God, it will bring forth that which You have spoken. And Lord, touch these lips to declare this word, God. To speak it into the atmosphere. That those who in faith will grab onto the word will go where You want them to. And get to the place You are leading them to. And grab on to what You are trying to explain to them. I pray strength over every heart. I pray, God, tonight give us ears to hear, God, what You are saying. Give us the mind to perceive, God, and give us eyes to see what You are showing us in Your word. I worship You and praise You. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. All day today, I've just been praying and seeking God and just staying in His presence. And while I was praying, the Lord simply spoke to me, Psalms 36. So I began to read through this psalm and just look over it and just meditate upon it. And the further I got into this psalm, the more He just began to deal with my heart. That God is trying to restore His body and prepare it for His return. But He is needing His body to begin to dwell in His presence. Because this is the place where we will be changed. When we dwell in the presence of the Lord. And even I said last night, it's not just about dwelling in these four walls. It is good for us to dwell together, come together, worship together, and pray together. But God is trying to help us to understand that in our homes, in our cars, in our personal life, there has got to be a dwelling with God. There's got to be a relationship with God. There's got to be a yearning for the presence of God. I want to read this to you. In verse 1, it says, and I'm reading in the Amplified Version, it says, transgression speaks like an oracle. An oracle is simply a priest or a priestess acting as a medium through whom advice or prophecy was sought from the gods in the classic times. There was simply a person who was the middle point for that connection between those gods. And this is saying transgression speaks like an oracle to the wicked, to the godless. Deep within his heart, listen to this, there is no fear or dread of God before his eyes. You see, when there is the fear of the Lord in us, there is something that causes us to begin to want to change. There's something that causes us to begin to want to know what God's commands are and know what He desires of our lives. But where there is no fear of the Lord, wickedness and sin speaks and preaches to the depths of your hearts daily. And this is why it's so important for us to have a relationship with God. Even as Sister Greeley said, to stay in this word. We've got to have this relationship with God, connecting in His word, connecting in prayer, connecting with Him in any way that we can, because that's what speaks to the depths of our heart. That what speaks to your mind and your soul when you begin to search the scriptures, when you begin to pray with God and connect with Him. That's what begins to build your inner man. But if you spend no time with God, if you spend no time in His Word, the world begins to speak into your heart. Sin and iniquity begins to build up in you, and transgressions begin to take hold of you. Listen to verse 2. For he flatters and deceives himself in his own eyes. Because where there is no guidance, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. You see, when you don't consider God, you flatter yourself and deceive your own eyes. It continues to say, thinking that His sinful ways will not be discovered and hated by God. When I was younger, I used to always think, oh, as long as my pastor doesn't see, or as long as my parents doesn't see. But then there was one day when someone preached and there was a scripture and they said, God sees everything. And it was literally like scrolls were rolled back. And I was like, wait a minute. For all my life, I've been trying to hide from my parents in this one, but God sees me every second of the day. And so many times we deceive ourselves. We're like, well, nobody else knows. I'm just going to be like this way. Nobody else can see. In church, yeah, I'll worship. But when I get outside, I'm going to do something different. You're just like this individual. Verse 3, it says, the words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He has ceased to fear God. He ceased to put his life in God's hands. Because Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. When a man stops fearing God, he puts himself in the hands of the enemy. And you see, for too long, we've played around with things. While God is saying every day, I have this word right here that you can know me. I've given you my spirit that you can draw nigh to me. What are you doing with those things? All day long, he began to speak into my spirit. We've got to stay in God's presence. We've got to dwell in God's presence. We've got to make room for him in our lives. There are times we need to shut everything else away and just begin to talk to God and say, Lord, look at my heart. Change my heart and change who I am. Because when the fear of the Lord is not in you, it opens you up to every other thing. When God's word is not in you, the word of the world is in you. When God's spirit is not in you, you can be led by anything else other than the Spirit of God. But it is our choice to say, God, how much do we want to prepare? God, how much of our lives do we truly want to give to you? How much time am I going to spend in your presence? How many of you have hobbies? Raise your hand. Or you're good at anything. You're good at something. Maybe cooking, maybe playing music, maybe talking like my son. He's good at talking. But it took you some time to develop that, correct? It took time. You had to figure out certain things. Some days you wanted to give it up because it was so frustrating. But over a course of time, you began to develop a skill behind it. You began to develop and understand the things that would help you get there easily. And this is the same way with our relationship with God. In the beginning, things get hard. In the beginning, things get struggled. But as you continue to walk, as you continue to read that word, as you continue to pray, it begins to build in you and strengthen you. And it's not always going to be easy, but you'll understand that if I keep pushing, I'm going to get the break I need. If I keep reading, God's going to speak to my heart. If I keep going forward, I'm going to get the direction I need. You see, it continues to say this. Verse 4, he plans wrongdoings on his bed. He sets himself on paths that are not good. He does not reject or despise evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate. We have got to begin to hate the things that God hates. We have got to begin to stay in God's presence to understand what he loves. Have you ever been around someone so long that you start doing some of the things they do? I used to always think I was like, nah. But then my son started growing and he would come in and start doing little weird things. And I'm like, where did you get that from? Like, I'd ask him questions. I'd be like, Declan, did you take the cookie? And I'm like, what is ch-ch-ch-ch? And then one day I was sitting there and I was like, ch-ch-ch-ch. I was like, oh, But I realized it was coming from me. He was in my presence. He's been around me. He's been hearing what I've been saying. He watches what I do. And he's slowly beginning to mimic things that I'm doing. And God is saying, if you will begin to get in prayer, if you will begin to get close to me, you'll begin to mimic things that I do. You'll begin to love like I love. You'll begin to give like I've given. You'll begin to understand my word. Because you're staying in my presence. You're staying close to me. And you see, even as little Declan stays close to me, there are times when I've got to discipline him. There are some things that I may say in a conversation or a context, and he might try to say the same thing, and I'm like, no. You don't tell mama what to do. You don't point to, no, you better slow down. You're going to get beat. But I've got to correct it. And this is where God is saying, if you will stay in my presence, there are times I'm going to have to correct you. There are times when I'm going to build you up. There are times when I'm going to encourage you. There are times when I'm going to be cheering you on. But we've got to stay in his presence. We've got to pray. I'm telling you, there are moments where you're going to get frustrated in prayer. Keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pressing, keep lingering, keep abiding. There's sometimes God wants to speak to you, but he will let you sit there in prayer and make you wait. to see if you will wait and tarry long enough to hear his voice. Is it just about meeting a quota, or is it about finding out who he is? Why do you think John the Beloved always sat next to Jesus? We read about him laying on the bosom of Jesus. He's known as John the Beloved because he was constantly wanting to know who Jesus was, constantly wanting that relationship, constantly wanting that closeness. And when we begin to understand the Lord wants a relationship with us, not just us sitting there, I love you, I thank you, but bearing our hearts. I'm struggling with this, Lord. Guide me in your word. Help me to understand your ways. God is not scared by your truthfulness. He's not scared by you saying, Lord, it's been a hard day. Lord, I'm struggling right now. He's not scared by any of that stuff. What God wants is hearts that will say, Lord, I'm going to sit in this room and I'm not leaving because I want to meet with you. I want to know who you are. I want to talk with you. I want to connect with you. And it doesn't matter your age. You can set up a prayer room in your closet. You can say, you know what? I'm putting away the video games. I'm turning off my social media. I'm pushing this away because I want to know Jesus. But it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us saying, God, I'm giving up things because I want you. I want your goodness and I want your mercy. I want your love and I want to know who you are. Listen to this in verse 5. It says, your loving kindness and graciousness, O Lord, extend to the skies. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. His mercy and grace are everlasting. We serve a God who is merciful, who forgives, who loves. His mercies reach beyond anything we ever could. When we mess up and when we have hard times, he forgives, he loves, and he's looking to bring us close to him. But it's going to take us to believe this word. All of us can be restored. All of us can be made new. Verse 6 says, your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. David said, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. There's no place that we can go that God's righteousness and judgment is not there. And this is where we've got to begin to say, Lord, I've lived my life a certain way, saved or unsaved. This is not just a message for saved. It's a message for all. We have got to get to a place where we're saying, Lord, change my heart. Lord, help me to pray. Lord, help me to get to the place you want me to. Everywhere in the Bible you read, when God did miraculous things, it was because of prayer. It was because of people seeking him. It was because of them opening up a door in their lives and saying, God, come on in. You take control. I'm going to give you everything. And you guide me and show me what to do. It starts with prayer. Verse 7 says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. You see, in that place is safety. You see, in the shadow of his wings is where you find refuge and comfort. You're not going to find it in anything else except his presence. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence is where you're going to find refuge. There must be a place of abiding and dwelling with God. If you have no prayer relationship, today is the day where you started. If you don't have that connection, today is the day where you say, God, I want to abide with you. I want to live with you. I want to begin to talk with you. I want you to begin to talk with me. I want to understand who you are and what you have for my life. Psalms 91 verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place,
He that dwelleth in the secret place. He that visiteth. No. He that dwelleth. When you dwell somewhere, you abide there. You reside there. This is my dwelling. That means that's the place where you visit frequently. It's not a one-time thing, but it's a place where you know this side of the dwelling. You know the back of the dwelling. You know that side. And this is how our lives have to be with the word and prayer. We know that if troubles come and hardship comes, I'm going to the secret place. I'm going to the place where God has ordained for me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. That comes from a heart that has said and went through trials, went through tribulations, but understood in the presence of the Lord and in prayer and in His word, they found refuge. They know where to go. Let me ask you, do you know where to go today? Because troubles will come. Not they might, they will. But do you know the refuge to come to? Do you know the strong tower to go to? Do you know the fortress to run into? When hardships come, where are we running to? Where are we running to? You have nothing to fear when you abide in Christ Jesus. Because verse 3 says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. God, You will cover us with Your feathers. You'll cover us with Your hands. You'll cover us with Your presence, and in You we will trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. Say that with me. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Hardships are going to come. If you've ever been through a hardship, raise your hand. If God has ever been your habitation through that storm and you got through it, raise your hand. Just give Him praise right now. Just give Him thanks right now. Because we have just testified that God's word is true. We have testified that He is our habitation, that He is our dwelling, that He is our fortress, that He is our strong tower, that He is our place where we run to and where we get everything we need. Verse 10 says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee. He only gives angels charge when there is the fear of the Lord. We have got to understand the importance of fearing the Lord. Because many times when Israel went astray, a prophet would come out and something would happen that would cause them to either go back to fearing the Lord and change everything, or they would either make the decision to stay where they were. Example, when Elijah came with the prophets of Baal, And after that fire came down and consumed the offering, after Elijah prayed, the Bible says that the people fell to their face and began to worship. The fear of the Lord was restored and they began to worship Him again. I'm telling you, we are living in a day and time where God is reaching for all of His people, saying, this world is being destroyed. Unrighteousness is everywhere. Iniquity and sin is reigning in the land. But who will stand in the gap? Who will intercede? Who will pray and say, God, restore this land, restore our hearts, restore our minds, restore the things? Who will stand in the gap and say, here I am, Lord, use me? When will we rise up in fear and begin to declare the word of God and begin to step out and tell people about His goodness? When will we truly believe that the enemy is under our feet? Do you believe that today? Do you believe it today? Do you? Because verse 13 clearly shows us, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Every demon, every issue that has come against you, when you abide in God's presence, when you abide in prayer, when you stay in the Word, it's under your feet. It has no victory or power over you. It will lie to you and try to tell you, you're going down again. You're not going to make it again. You're going to mess up again. But that's where we've got to say, no, 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 no. You're under my feet. You're under my feet. You're under my feet. And God is my strong tower. He is my strength. He is my deliverer. He is my refuge. We can't allow anything else to cause us to not believe that God is the victor, that God is not able to do everything He said He would. He that dwelleth, we've got to dwell. We've got to dwell. Young people, you've got to dwell. We've got to dwell. Everyone in this place, we've got to dwell. My brother, we've got to dwell. It's not always going to be easy. You know that. We all know that. But I want to encourage you tonight. Keep putting Him under your feet. Every time you wake up and there's a hardship, God, you're my strong tower. God, you're my defense. I know that I'm giving my heart to You. And this enemy that's hitting me will not overcome. It's got to be in us that boldness and that attitude in the Spirit to say, my God will do what He said He would. But we've got to believe it and pray it. We've got to abide. We've got to dwell. We've got to war in the Spirit. It's up to us to begin to engage the enemy in the Spirit. We've got to pray. It continues to say, listen to this in verse 14. The enemy's under your feet because he hath set his love upon me. Do you see how everything always goes back to that abiding and dwelling and staying in His presence? In your walk with God, you can't get away from that. You will never get to a place in your walk with God where you don't have to pray. You don't have to seek His face. You don't have to stay in the Word. You don't have to put this flesh under by fasting. You'll never get to that place. It says, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. He hath known my name. All of this is about a relationship of knowing the individual. All of it's about a relationship of touching Him and Him touching you and speaking to Him and Him speaking to you. He'll deliver you because you know His name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. This is the type of thing that those who are really locked in friendship or those who are in a relationship do. If my wife calls me, immediately I'm picking up the phone to see what she needs because I love her. We stay together. She is my heart. She's my desire. I pray for her. I look out for her. I want to provide for her. So if she reaches out to me, I'm listening attentively to what she's saying. And as we walk together, she begins to know things about me. And I reveal things to her. And she could be across the room, and if something happens and she sees my face, she knows what I'm thinking. It's because of time spent together. That's because of pushing everyone aside and committing to one. And this is why this relationship is just a parallel physical expression of this one. When I'm in line with God, everyone can see the love that flows right here. But if I'm out of line and have no relationship here, everyone can see the turmoil and the issues and the lack of love and the lack of abiding that would dwell right here. And this is where we've got to begin to say, God, I want to know who you are. I want you to change me. I want to stay in your presence. Because listen to this, in verse 16 he says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want to tell you something today. Salvation is a consistent process. It's not a once you've been repented, been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a three-stage, in a sense, process where when we're saved and we go down in the water and God fills us, he saved us out of sin. But then as we walk with him daily in our relationship, he's saving us and keeping us through to get away from sin. And then when he returns from heaven, he will save us out of the world and bring us into his kingdom. It is a constant work that he's doing, but it's got to be a constant relationship that builds us to that point of getting to the city. It's not a one-stop shop. It's a constant relationship. And over again today, he kept beating my heart, saying, tell them to tarry and pray and wait for me and talk to me and open their hearts to me. There's so much he wants to share with us. But it's all about making the time and dwelling and abiding in his presence. It's all about staying with him. Listen to this. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells us what we can and cannot do without abiding in him and him abiding in us. Verse 4, John 15 says, abide in me and I in you. You see, many times we love the, yes, the Spirit is in me, but are you in the Spirit? He said, abide in me and I in you. Abide means you're staying. Abide means you're constantly living. Abide means this is your everything. Jesus abided and did everything he could to open the doors for us. Now, are we doing the same? Because it doesn't just say Jesus is like, I'm going to fill you and that's it. No, he said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. This is why you will always understand when you're growing spiritually by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, faith. You'll know that you're growing and you're prospering in that relationship when you begin to love more, when you begin to become more long-suffering, when you begin to have patience, when you begin to allow the fruit to grow in your life. It shows you're abiding in the goodness of God. Just like if you planted seeds in soil, if there's good soil, if it's getting sunlight and water, that plant will begin to grow. And as time goes by, it will begin to produce fruit. And this is where God is reaching for us, saying, yes, I planted the seed. Yes, you have my spirit, but are you abiding in me? Is the fruit coming from you? Are you growing in your relationship? Are you growing in your love for others? Can everyone see me through you? Or are they confused by what they see? It says, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Say nothing. And this is what happens when you don't abide. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You see, when you don't stay in God's presence, the attitudes begin to creep back up. The sins that you got victory over begin to come back. And all the things that you thought you had victory over, that the lion and the adder that were under your feet, you began to move your foot. And then you began to get tripped up. And then they began to put you down. But it comes when we don't begin to dwell consistently. Just for a moment, let's lift up our hands right now. Because we are getting into a place where God is going to need us to begin to start pushing away all the things. Because right now the adversary wants to just wreak havoc. He wants you to think, oh, it's just another service. But this is God's word. God is speaking, saying it's time for all of us to begin to abide more. It's time for all of us to begin to plummet the depths of his spirit. Plummet the depths of prayer. Begin to search the scriptures. Begin to find out what the Lord desires. It's time for us to begin to build up our faith. It's time for us to begin to reach in prayer and begin to say, God, use me in prayer. God, use me in the closet. God, use me to speak your word. God, use me to intercede. God, use me and change me. I want to stay in your presence so I'm changed. I want to stay in your presence so I'm transformed. I want to stay in your presence so I'm made new. But I must abide in you. Oh, verse 7 says this. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Listen to this. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As you stay in that presence, you begin to be changed to love those who hate you. You begin to bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. When you begin to stay in the presence of God, it changes your motives from being vain and selfish to being humble and selfless. But it's up to us to stay in that place. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You are my friends if you obey me. You are my friends if you listen to the words that I am speaking to you. Jesus, as I said the night before and the night after, Jesus told Nicodemus, except you're born again, you cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus commanded him, ye must be born again. Jesus is speaking to us. Where are you going to abide? What's the choice going to be? If you haven't repented, it's time to repent. If you haven't been baptized, it's time to be baptized. If you haven't received that Spirit, it's time to abide and wait for Him to do what He said He would do. I want to show you something, because when Moses went up the mountain, the Bible said that he was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. And God began to reveal things to him. God began to give things to Moses that was for not just Moses, but for all the people. You see, when we become selfless and allow God to speak to us, God allows us in prayer to begin to obtain things that are for people around us. For the coworkers and the family members you've been praying for different individuals. It's not for you, it's for others. But in His presence, He gives you things and He changes you. Because as Moses was up there, the Bible says when he came down, his countenance glowed. It was glowing. From the moment he went up, he was changed from the moment he came down. Why? Because of abiding in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says that when he came down, he gave the commandments to the people, and it was to help them and guide them. God is asking us, will you come up higher? Will you spend more time with me? Will you forget about your life and yourself and begin to say, God, I'm going to spend these hours in prayer just getting close to you so that you can change me. He didn't even know he was glowing. And this is what happens when you begin to pray and get in God's presence. He begins to change things that you didn't even know changed because you spent time with him. And then he begins to give you things for people. You begin to have a heart and a love for others. You begin to reach out to others. When you walk through your day, your mind begins to change off of what the tasks you got to do. And you start being sensitive to, wait a minute, that person needs, look like they need a word. Or they look like they need prayer. Let me go there and pray. You see, this is how we truly get in the place where God wants us to be as the people of God. It's not just good enough. This is amazing right here. This is a point of connection. But if when you reach out and you give this heartlessly and walk away, it means nothing. But if you're in your prayer room, God, today, send me to a soul. Send me to someone who's hungry. Send me to someone who needs you. Send me to someone who needs an answer, God. And when you walk through that day, God says, that's the person right there. You go and say, look, God bless you. I don't know what you're going through, but I felt I wanted to encourage you today. That is when you begin sensitive to God. That's when you begin to say, God, guide me. Guide my steps. Guide my direction. But it all comes from the presence and abiding in prayer. Like never before, there's something that dwells within me that understands when you abide in prayer. When you abide in the place, fear disappears. When we were in Brazil, we all went to Rio. And we were only supposed to be there one night. There with a big group from Missouri. We were supposed to be there one night, but some things happened. And my wife got sick and had to go to the hospital. And we ended up staying there 2 weeks while they left. So after a week of her being in the hospital and getting out, that Saturday, we're sitting at the missionary who's in Rio, Sister Norris. We're sitting at her house just talking and stuff. And she's like, I'd like you to minister tomorrow. And I'm like, fine, okay, that's fine. And we're sitting there. We all go to sleep. Everything's good. And then in the morning when I come out, she's pacing like this. She's pacing frantically like this. And I'm like, what's the problem? You see, where she lives, it is the most dangerous place in all of Brazil. It's not run by government and people. It's run by the gangs. And she said last night in front of the church and in that area, at least 4 to 5 bodies, the gangs went together and 4 people were killed. And the bodies are still laying in the streets right now. And we're praying if we should go to church this morning or not. Never in my life have I had to pray and ask God if I should go to church or not. But you see, when you stay in a place of prayer, when you give your life away, God will lead and guide your steps. We all got together that morning and just began to pray, just began to seek God, just began to talk to Him. And the Lord released us to go. And even as we went on the way, we got in an accident right before we got to the church. Boom, hit a car. The oil pan starts dripping and all kinds of stuff. I'm looking, there's 3 cops over there and they're not doing nothing. They're just standing there just looking at us like, I hope it works out. The guy comes out and looks and he's like, my car is good, and drives off. The driver in the car looks at Sister Norris. We keep going to church. You see, these people have nothing else except to pray and seek God for every decision. And when we got to the church, we ministered and God moved. There's still dead bodies out there. Why did I tell you that? Because fear wants to grip you to not do what God wants you to do. But you must be in a place of prayer. You must be in a place where you say, God, my life matters no more. What matters is when I'm in prayer, there's something that people need and you can give it. But I've got to get in prayer to obtain it and then give it away. There are so many souls out here dying and giving up their lives. And how many of us will begin to push away things and say, God, let me intercede. Let me pray. Let me petition you. So God, you can move in this city. So God, you can break down walls. You can break down strongholds. I'm willing to give up my day and just pray and abide till you move. When will it shake us till we say, God, for your glory, for your honor, I give up my life. And I follow after you. When will you begin to pray? When will we begin to intercede? Even now, He's putting burdens on people. It's time for us to pray right now. It's time for us to begin to pray over this city, over the surrounding towns. It's time for us to begin to say, God, do what you want, God. Stir up this city. Stir up our hearts. Let it start with us tonight. We're going to intercede. We're going to pray until the strongholds are torn down. No more unrighteousness. But we want to see your glory. We want to see your power. And we're giving everything to you. Now is the time. Begin to pray. Begin to reach for Him. Begin to call on Him. Because it's abiding in the secret place. You will find everything you need. Begin to war. Begin to pray. He's under our feet. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. He's under our feet. God has given us the city. God has given us the authority. God has given us the power. We've got to dwell. We've got to abide. We've got to believe. We've got to reach tonight. Let Let's turn this place into just one prayer room. If you feel led to pray for someone, pray for them. If you feel led to intercede for those around, intercede. If you feel led to stretch your hands towards the wall, towards parts of the city, let's stretch it. But God is telling us, it's time for us to abide. It's time for us to tarry. It's time for us to hear His voice and respond. Break it, God. Break it, God. Break it, God. It's a caravario. Break it, Lord. Break the hold off the people. God calls us to pray. God, break the hold off Uncasville. God, break the hold off Waterford. God, break the hold off Quaker Hill. God, break the hold off Willimantic. God, break the hold off New London. God, break the hold off Norwich. Break the hold off Groton. Break the hold off this area. Ishkatolamor Salabarto. The people of God must pray. He will hear us and answer us, and He will deliver us, because we've set our love on Him, because we feared Him, because we called to Him. Pray. Pray and push. Don't back up. Pray and push. Pray and push. Itakaramasa Puria. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Kilamarasando ster salamorto cariora borasarta. Perdati remarsa sasakoria. Paremoria ramasandi remorsa tecoria remertos. Male garanda son despuntiga. Male goriembriardo sporcerta. Male saria. Male gerersa. Male gariorda. Male testia. Mare temperio de vosso. That's it. That's it. Reach for it. That's it. Reach for it. Reach for it. The flame is growing as we intercede. The push is pushing back against darkness. The light is beginning to be released. The enemy is feeling with every prayer. He's hearing the footsteps of soldiers coming to put their foot on his head.
Not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just a beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. Story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just a beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. Oh, it's not as dark as you believe, and it's not as bad as it may seem. And if it feels like you can't breathe, there's still a voice that's whispering. Story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just the beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. Your story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just the beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. Hallelujah. There's not a word that he can't keep. His power is perfect when you're weak. When you're afraid, he'll give you peace. Yes and amen, his promise speaks. Your story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just a beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. Your story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just a beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. Your story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like the ending is just a beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. Not as dark as you believe. It's not as bad as it may seem. And if it feels like you can't breathe, there's still a voice that's whispering. Your story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just the beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. Your story's not over, because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just the beginning. Hope and a future coming alive. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. Power is perfect when you're weak. When you're afraid, He'll give you peace. Yes, and amen, His promise speaks. Your story's not over because you're still breathing. What seems like an ending is just the beginning.